To talk to you more about how FreeCycle came about, I have with me Darren Bill on the phone from Tucson, Arizona, the very person who started it all. Hi, Darren. Welcome to CJSR. It's a great honor to have you on air.
Thank you for having me.
So what inspired you in starting FreeCycle Network?
Well, you know, a couple years back, I was working with a little recycling nonprofit here in Tucson, and it's also a transitional employment program. So it gives guys in need work doing recycling downtown. And we'd be driving around picking up all sorts of recycling, and we'd see old things next to dumpsters like desks and computer monitors, and the businesses we recycled with would be giving us all this stuff that actually wasn't recyclable at all, but it certainly had a long life left in it. So I figured, you know, why not set up some sort of listserv so that I can start giving this stuff away on, rather than driving around to all these places trying to find a new home for it. And that's how I came up with the idea.
How was the response when you first established this in Tucson, Arizona?
Well, it's funny because I basically sent out an email to set up the first local email group, maybe 30 or 40 friends and, you know, a handful of nonprofits. Yeah, I kind of felt like I was imposing on them. Here, I've set up this email group that no one knows anything about or probably wants anything to do with. And so I was a little embarrassed, but I'll be darned if it didn't pick up. Basically, within the first month, we already had probably 100 members. And then within the first 6 weeks, it just started growing at this phenomenal rate so that we had 600, 700, 800 members rapidly. It was really incredible.
Did you ever expect it to grow rapidly now that it has more than 3,000 communities and 1.6 million members across the globe?
Well, you know, it's funny. When we started growing locally with the first group to about 600 or 800 members, I was actually quite nervous about how rapidly it was growing. I thought that a group of that size could never possibly function, that everybody would quit. And when I saw that it actually did function quite well at a larger size, that's when I realized I was onto something really big and beautiful. And that's when I set up the website as well, freecycle.org, so that other communities could tap into and join the network.
Growing so rapidly now since its day of conception, how do you see FreeCycle 10 years from now?
10 years from now. I'm still worried about 10 months from now. Beginning of this year, we had 750,000 members, and we've more than doubled just since the beginning of this year. In the past year before that, we grew by 2,300%. I realize that there was one group a little over 2 years ago, and now there are 3,000 of them in over 50 countries. So it's just such a mind-boggling growth rate that myself and the thousands of volunteers making this work are really just busy keeping up with the status quo, let alone where we'll be in 10 years. However, I can comment on the 10-month part of things. We're currently designing a brand new website that is no longer dependent on Yahoo Groups as a foundation for each local group.
What makes FreeCycle movement different from common recycling concept?
Well, you know, the three R's of recycling are reduce, reuse, and recycle. And the most important thing is just not to create as much waste to start with, reduce. And then reuse is the second most important. If you've already produced something, then you should reuse it as much as possible. And then finally, if you can't reuse it anymore, then you should at least recycle it, you know, like paper into new newspapers and whatnot. So on the food chain of recycling, it's just this little tick above recycling. And so the more we can reuse items instead of throwing them in the landfill, the better off we are. And that's what FreeCycle is doing. It's enabling currently 170 tons a day not to be thrown away. And that's okay in my book.
So what is your role now in FreeCycle Network?
Well, I guess technically I'm the founder and executive director, but just like any nonprofit organization, anything that you have to do to keep a nonprofit going, I'm doing. Between meeting with lawyers, accountants, auditors, the board, and doing my best to help basically manage a 1.6 million member organization with no staff and a whole bunch of dedicated volunteers.
So how do you maintain this FreeCycle network, like financially? And
well, because it's all volunteer-driven, aside from myself, basically, the biggest challenge is actually finding any money in order to design, for example, the new website. You know, a venture capitalist calls up and says, we'd love to give you millions of dollars, and all I can say is, sorry, we're a nonprofit. We can't welcome investors. So it's a challenge every day to keep this beautiful nonprofit public commons, the thing that it is, while at the same time finding money, scratching together money here and there in order to design this new website and whatnot. So it's definitely a juggling act.
Well, my last question is, throughout this almost 2 years, what is the most bizarre things that you've known ever given in FreeCycle?
Oh, boy. You know, if you look at any local group on any given day, you'll find all sorts of unusual items. I did think it was funny that a wedding dress was posted to a local group from a woman's first marriage. And in the local group here in Tucson, we had a fellow post that he was looking for magnets for a time machine. I think I heard that he might have won the lottery, so apparently he did get his magnet. So you just never know with FreeCycle.
Well, thank you, Darren, for your time. It's been great talking to you. Yeah.
I wish the local FreeCycle group the best of luck. If anyone does want to join, it's all nonprofit. You just go to freecycle.org and find your local group, and your local volunteer moderator will set you up.
Okay, thank you, Darren. You have a great day.
Thank you. Likewise. Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.